Is there a thing that tonight, if I brought it up and put my finger on it and pointed at it tonight, that you'd be like, get away, don't touch that? There's no way I'm giving that up. That's mine. And what if Jesus tonight showed up and was like, that's exactly what I want. I want you to give that up and follow me. These people were serious. They're like, take it all. You know what else? More than just being really expensive, what these scrolls represented for these people, they were sacred. These scrolls, to have these in your home and to own them meant that you were really, really like famous, popular among that religion. Like you were powerful, you were authoritative. You had these titles and prestige because those scrolls were yours. And these scrolls were also sacred. They were religious. And so it meant something to their faith as well, because they trusted the incantations and the curses and all these things that were on these scrolls that talked about their sacred religion that they believed at the time. Their entire identity was wrapped up in these scrolls. And so when they took them and they laid them at the feet of Jesus, it is no different than us walking up to Jesus and taking our whole identity, our whole self, and saying, Jesus, I am yours completely. All of me belongs to you. And that's what they were modeling to us as they did this in this beautiful way. And you know why? Because Paul said, my life is getting shaken up by the gospel. And because my life's getting shaken up with the gospel, now the people around me, their lives are getting shaken up with the gospel. So here's a quick question for you before we go on. If tonight you're here and you'd be like, hey, listen, I follow Jesus. My life got shook up for him. He's got me, the whole thing. Not holding anything back, like, I'm his. Would you do me a favor right now, not out loud, just in your heart, in your head, think about the people around you. How affected are they by your faith? What kind of change do you see in your friends, in your family, because you're in their life? Because Jesus is shaking up your heart and your life. Do you see the people around you getting shaken up by that same faith that God has given you? Because what this passage shows us is that as we get shaken up, the people around us get shaken up by true faith. It spills out of us. The Holy Spirit reaches out and touches through us. He chooses to use his church to do that, and you get to be part of the church who does that. So it's hard to say, yeah, man, I'm on fire for Jesus, but literally the nothing about Jesus is happening in my life. That's very hard to believe. And maybe we need to stop tonight and go, God, am I really actually that shaken up? Do I really believe the way sometimes I think I do? Or do I need to lay it all down at your feet and say, Jesus, I'm completely yours tonight? Because I'll tell you what, when you do that, the people around you take notice. Your life changes. Things happen all around you. Because Jesus is that powerful. It's when we're just kind of doing our thing, pressing the people around us, holding back those pieces of our heart and our lives, that we live this mediocre Christian life where nothing changes, there's no power, there's no things happening around us. The third thing that we see in verses 23 to 34 is we see this. True faith not only shakes up the believer and the people around the believer, but third, it shakes up the whole culture. When people start to actually believe in Christ, look what happens, verse 23. It says, about that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. The way is the way that Paul often refers to Christianity, the church, believing in Jesus. So there's this like all this like upset. People are getting upset about Christianity. A silversmith, someone who works with like silver, named Demetrius, who made silver shrines, idols, for Artemis, which was their goddess, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. Like, he made a ton of money selling idols. He called them together, along with the workmen in related trades, and said, men, you know we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods and are no gods at all. There's danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. man, these guys are not happy. Paul, what are you doing? Look what he says next. He says, and the goddess herself who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world will be robbed of her divine majesty. Doesn't sound like much of a goddess if that's the case, right? Verse 28, when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. Verse 32 says, the assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. For 2 hours. Listen, this is wild. These people did not want to hear the truth. These people heard these guys talking about Jesus and about the true way. And then all of a sudden, this guy over here named Demetrius, who makes idols and makes a ton of money off of these silver idols and selling it to people, is upset. How dare you talk about Jesus? You're ruining my business. These people are all getting saved. They're trusting in Jesus, burning their scrolls, and they're not buying my idols anymore. I'm going to go broke. So you know what he does? He calls up all the other dudes who make idols, gets them all in the same house, and they're like, listen, we got to do something about this or we're all going to lose our business and our houses. And so they go and they grab these guys and bring them into a theater, and they get the whole place, like the whole town, the whole city is like in an uproar, so upset. And they're in this, you know, those big amphitheaters, like you've probably seen if you've seen movies like Gladiator, things like that, like the big Roman Colosseums. That's what it looked like. And so they're in here and they bring them into that, and basically, what most scholars think is they're about to kill him. Like, these guys were about to die. But it gets stopped, right? And they're like, push him up front. Let him talk. Let him defend himself. And so Alexander goes up to represent them. And just as he starts to talk about Jesus, what do? They just start screaming as loud as they can. Great is Artemis. Great is Artemis. And they just chant it for literally 2 hours. That's a long time to chant the same thing over and over at the top of your lungs just to not hear what this dude has to say. They would rather yell and drown out the truth than feel convicted about what's actually true. And you know what? You and I can get really good at doing the very same thing. The Holy Spirit knocks on your heart and tries to speak truth to you, how often do you just try to drown out that voice and not listen to Jesus? Let me distract myself in social media. Let me distract myself with my friends or sports or even school or drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever other thing is going to distract me so I don't have to listen and hear the truth that the Holy Spirit is tapping on my heart with. I'm going to shout louder, as loud as I can, so I can't hear that. Sometimes when we share our faith, those of you guys who are like, man, I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm on fire, and I tell people about Jesus. Sometimes what will happen to you is the world just won't want to hear it. And they're going to try to yell loud enough that they can't hear you speaking truth because they don't want to have to face the truth. Just like these people screaming out to their false god rather than hear the truth that could save them, that could forgive their sin, that could finally make them right with their creator and give them eternal life. But the enemy doesn't want you to hear it. And so the enemy will convince you to yell at the top of your lungs and distract yourself with whatever you can to not hear the truth about Jesus. Who will you listen to? Will you listen through the crowd and hear the voice of your Savior and obey Will you pick up your scrolls, walk them over to the foot of the cross and lay them down and say, that old life is done. Jesus, I'm following you 100%. You've got all of me. A culture gets shaken up by people who have been shaken up by Jesus. So if tonight one of you says, man, I'm following Christ with my whole heart and it radically changes your life, what's going to happen is the people around you are going to start to experience that too, because you're carrying Jesus with you to your friends and your sports and your homes with your families. Wherever you go, you're on fire for Jesus and speaking about Jesus, and it starts to change the people around you. And as those people start to change, it starts to change more until our culture, our island, our community changes for the gospel. That's how God grows his church. And it starts with you tonight. All of that starts with you tonight simply saying, Jesus, it's all going to at your feet. You get my whole life, and tonight I want to be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with power. Give me the fruit of the Spirit. Make me look like your son so the world can be changed. Because tonight you decide to be a difference. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? As the band comes up to lead us in another song, will you do me a favor and just in the quietness of your heart? You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to move around or do anything. I just want you to talk to God for a second. And would you just ask him, what are the things that if tonight he were to say, give me that, what are those things that you would respond by saying, like, no way. Don't touch that. That's mine. Would you just ask God to point those out to you tonight as we sing this next song?